Welcome to Patch Barracks, Washington Square for the United States European Command Change of Command and retirement ceremony of Admiral James G. Stavridis as he relinquishes command to General Philip Breedlove. I am Major General Mark Barrett, the Chief of Staff, United States European Command, and I'll be your narrator for today's ceremony. Thank you all for attending. We have many distinguished guests here today. Please hold your applause until the end. Among our distinguished guests this morning, we are honored to be joined by Mrs. Laura Stavridis, wife of the outgoing commander, Admiral James Stavridis. Mrs. Cindy Breedlove, wife of the incoming commander, General Philip Breedlove. Mrs. Ginny Rodriguez, wife of the commander, U.S. Africa Command, General David Rodriguez. Minister of the Kosovo Security Force, Minister Ajim Jiku. Armenian Chief of Defense, General Colonel Yuri Hachaturov. Croatia Deputy Chief of Defense, Major General Mata Padin and his wife Romana. Slovenia Chief of Defense, Brigadier General Dobran Bozic. Georgia Chief of Defense, Colonel Yurakli Zaraladzu. Director of the Minister of the Interior of Baden-Württemberg, Dr. Herbert Zinnell. Chief of Staff, German Armed Forces, Lieutenant General Karl Milner. Mayor of the Department of Law and Public Safety, Stuttgart, Dr. Martin Scheier. District Mayor of Wigenen, Wolfgang Meinhardt. Baron von Rassler. Graf von Stauffenberg. Deputy Commander, U.S. European Command, Vice Admiral Charlie Martolio and his wife Darlene. Civilian Deputy to the Commander, U.S. European Command, Ambassador Larry Butler and his wife, Linda. Deputy to the Commander for Military Operations, U.S. Africa Command, Vice Admiral Joe Leidig and his wife, Meg. Deputy to the Commander for Civil Military Activities, U.S. Africa Command, Ambassador Chris Dell. Commanding General, U.S. Army Europe, Lieutenant General Donald Campbell and his wife, Anne. Commander, U.S. Air Forces in Europe, Lieutenant General Noel Jones and his wife, Debbie. Representing U.S. Naval Forces Europe, Commander, U.S. 6th Fleet, Vice Admiral Frank Pandolf and his wife, Anita. Commanding General, Special Operations Command Europe, Major General Michael Repass and his wife, Linda. Commander, Marine Corps Forces Europe, Brigadier General James O'Meara and his wife, Angela. And Commander, U.S. Army Garrison Stuttgart, Colonel John Stack and his wife, Petrina. Providing music for the ceremony today is a joint USER and USAFE band under the direction of Lieutenant Colonel R. Michael Mensch, Commander, U.S. Air Forces Europe Band, and Drum Major Senior Airman Christopher Jackson, U.S. Air Forces Europe Band. The Joint Chiefs of Staff established the United States European Command on 1 August 1952 to exercise unified command over all United States air, ground, and naval forces in Europe and the Mediterranean. The headquarters was activated in IG Farben Building in Frankfurt, Germany. In May 1954, it moved to Camp Delouge in the outskirts of Paris near the Supreme Headquarters Allied Powers Europe. European Command directed all conventional, nuclear, and special operations forces in Europe during the Cold War. It also conducted other missions outside of Europe, such as the deployment of U.S. forces to Lebanon in 1958 and United Nations peacekeepers to the Congo in 1960. On 15 March 1967, the command relocated to Patch Barracks in Stuttgart, Germany. In 1983, the Unified Command Plan expanded European Command's air responsibility to include Eastern Europe and most of Sub-Sahara Africa. And today, it includes 51 countries in Europe, Eurasia, and Israel. After the end of the Cold War, the command successfully conducted multinational peacekeeping operations in the Balkans while downsizing and redeploying component forces. Since the U.S. terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, European Command has played a vital role in the war on terrorism and has provided combat-ready forces for Operation Iraqi Freedom, Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Odyssey Dawn, and Operation Unified Protector. The command directs theater security cooperation activities throughout Europe and is engaged in strategic theater transformation to prepare for future challenges. The commander of the troops for today's ceremony is Major General Mark Schisler, United States European Command. The unit commanders for today's ceremony are from left to right: Colonel Brian N. Sparling, United States Army Europe; Colonel John K. Lowry, United States Marine Corps Europe; Captain James P. McGrath, United States Navy Europe; Colonel Stephen P. Ritter, United States Air Forces Europe; and Colonel Eric Brown, Special Operations Command Europe. A fanfare will salute the entry of the official party, and a 19-gun salute will be conducted during the playing of Ruffles and Flourishes and the Stars and Stripes Forever for the Honorable Ashton Carter, Deputy Secretary of Defense, who is the presiding official for today's ceremony. The salute battery today is from the 5th Platoon, 529th MP Company, 95th MP Battalion, 18th MP Brigade. The salute battery platoon leader is Second Lieutenant Stephen Hack, and the chief of the firing battery is Staff Sergeant Scott Isler. Additionally, we are honored to have a number of current and former national defense leaders, active and retired senior officers, and other distinguished guests with us today. And we would also like to extend a special welcome to our German national friends who have honored us with their presence and have joined us to witness today's ceremony. On behalf of the Honorable Ashton Carter, United States Deputy Secretary of Defense, we welcome you. Please stand by for the arrival of the official party. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand for the arrival of the official party and remain standing for the playing of the German and American national anthems and the invocation. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the European Command Chaplain, Colonel David Beecham, will now offer the invocation.
I invite you to join with me as I pray. Heavenly Father, the psalmist has declared, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" As we conduct this change of command, I ask that you would grant confidence for all participants, but especially for Admiral Stavridis and General Breedlove. May you grant them and their families the strength that comes from you as they both enter into new endeavors that will be both challenging and rewarding. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, please be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Second Lieutenant Stephen Hack, officer in charge of the Salute Battery, will present Admiral Stavridis a shell casing fired by the unit during Admiral Stavridis' command. The casing serves to remind Admiral Stavridis of his command tour and service to our nation. The change of command ceremony is an event steeped in tradition and rich with heritage. The turnover of command is the formal passing of responsibility, authority, and accountability of command from one officer to another. For today's ceremony, we are honored to have the United States Deputy Secretary of Defense, the Honorable Ashton Carter. Introducing the Deputy Secretary of Defense is Admiral Stavridis. Ladies and gentlemen, the Commander, United States European Command, Admiral James Stavridis.
Well, thank you, everybody, and welcome to Germany. on a cool spring-like morning. We would call this in Florida a little liquid sunshine, so I encourage you to think of it in that regard. I am here at this moment to introduce someone who is a very close friend. I've known Dr., Professor, Leader, Secretary Ash Carter for over two decades. I literally studied his work when I was a graduate student myself at the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy. That was 1.2 million years ago. Dr. Carter is without question the prime creator of intellectual capital in the Department of Defense. He has the credentials that prove that. He was a Rhodes Scholar. He has studied or taught at Yale, Oxford, Harvard, MIT. I am sorry, Mr. Secretary, about that computer error when you were rejected from the Naval Academy. Dr. Carter, and this is the breadth of his intellect, as an undergraduate, studied two subjects intensively, medieval history and applied physics. I think there are very few who can range the human mind the way that the Secretary has. I'm a little reminded, some of you are old enough to recall the Beverly Hillbillies. Jethro could never decide if he wanted to be a brain surgeon or a fry cook. I think Dr. Carter, because of his breadth of intellect, touches every field. When I studied his work, it focused on nuclear weapons, on weapons of mass destruction, long before we were talking about them in the global sense. He's someone who has spent an enormous amount of time studying crises. He has helped guide this nation through crises with North Korea. He has been involved in our work in Afghanistan, in Iraq, around the world. And today he is focused globally as the Deputy Secretary of Defense, leading the largest enterprise in the United States. He's published dozens of books, but above all, his reputation in the Department of Defense is as a leader, as a kind person who wants to listen, and as a secretary who follows through on his commitments. He is a friend of the uniformed military, the civilians who are so critical to our department, and a source of inspiration to all in the Department of Defense. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in a round of applause for a terrific Deputy Secretary of Defense, Ash Carter.
Thanks, Jim. Distinguished guests, representatives from NATO, especially our German hosts, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Secretary Hagel, it's my honor, it's my privilege to be here with you today. Today, we transfer command responsibility from one outstanding leader to another and recognize the accomplishments of the men and women of the United States European Command over the past 4 years. In a military career spanning more than four decades, Admiral Jim Stavridis has won renown as one of the Navy's most influential, creative, and forward-thinking leaders of his generation. In the words of one of Jim's greatest mentors, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mike Mullen, one of many to whom I spoke before coming here today, quote, "Jim has been best in class since he was 21. Nothing's changed." As many of you know, Jim is a sailor, a statesman, and a scholar, truly a Renaissance admiral, as they call him. And he's a proud Greek American, too. I know he'll get my reference then to Pallas Athena, the Greek goddess of wisdom and warfare, who, according to legend, was born fully armed from Zeus's head. Now, without making too many comparisons between Jim and a Greek goddess, it is believed that when Jim was born, his first words to the world were, "You can friend me on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or YouTube." Needless to say, Jim was well ahead of his time. By the age of 8, Jim had already met his future wife, Laura. Talk about getting a head start in life. Laura, as many of you know, is herself an accomplished author. And I'd like to take a moment to recognize the extraordinary work she has done over many years and multiple tours to help Navy families and particularly Navy spouses. Laura, Stephanie, and I give you our greatest affection. And we're all honored by your presence today. I'd also like to recognize Jim and Laura's two daughters, Christina and Julia, who weren't able to be here with us today, but they're both brilliant, no surprise. And I know it will be a particularly special day for the Stavridis family when Jim commissions his younger daughter, Julia, into the Navy as a nurse next week. In physics, this is called conservation of Stavridises. One goes out and one comes in. As Jim prepares to hand over command, it's worth reflecting upon a few of his many achievements and firsts. He's the first naval officer and the first Greek American to serve as commander of U.S. Southern Command, U.S. European Command, and as Supreme Allied Commander, Europe. Shaking things up. He's the U.S. military's longest-serving combatant commander, 7 years. He's the author of 4 seminal books on naval ship handling, watch standing, and leadership. A 5th on the use of cooperative approaches to solve regional security challenges in the Americas, and hundreds of journal articles and papers. He commanded the first destroyer in naval history to embark women as part of the crew and completed deployments to Haiti, Bosnia, and the Persian Gulf, winning the Battenberg Cup as the top ship in the Atlantic Fleet. He's the first combatant commander I know to have delivered a TED Talk, his on the subject of what he calls open source security in the 21st century. Watch this spot. He's been a pioneer in leveraging the power of social media to communicate his message of partnership and bridge building to audiences around the world. And in addition to his own personal career accomplishments, Jim is one of the greatest mentors of junior officers in the Navy today. He stays with them to benefit their careers, not to benefit himself. And he is selfless in so many ways, it's hard to count. Some of you may be wondering what the secret has been to Jim's remarkable career. Was it his squash game, tested at the highest levels of the Office of the Secretary of Defense? His Bull Halsey vintage khakis, another good guess. His ability to use his height for purposes of strategic surprise? I've known Jim for a long time, as he said, and I'd like to offer some alternative hypotheses. Jim grew up in Athens, Greece, and West Palm Beach, Florida, as he would be apt to say, long before TV was invented. All he had were books, thousands of them. Voltaire, Shakespeare, Melville, Hemingway, Thucydides. Jim devoured them all. And he used the wisdom he gained to shape his worldview and gain greater insight into human behavior. Many of you are familiar by now with Jim's famous commander's reading list, which has emphasized the importance of off-duty professional reading, not just to senior officers, but to junior officers and enlisted personnel as well. As Jim has often said, these books are not simply great works. They are, as he says, a gateway to really understanding the sea in which we swim. I had a chance to review the UCOM reading list on my flight over here, and I would gladly trade Jim all the unintelligible Pentagon paperwork I have to review every day for a chance to read his top five picks. Jim's intellectual curiosity, of course, extends beyond books. He's also famous for learning foreign languages to better understand the cultural terrain on which he stands. As Jim puts it, to learn another person's language is to learn their life. When Jim was confirmed as the commander of SOUTHCOM, he knew French, but not Spanish. So he hired a tutor. And before his command was up, he was conducting high-level ministerial meetings in Spanish without a translator. And he wasn't done yet. Recognizing that 180 million people in his area of responsibility were native Portuguese speakers, he started to learn Portuguese. Jim was determined to meet his regional partners more than halfway. That's the kind of leader he was. And that's the type of leadership he imparted to others. Now, when Bob Gates, my former boss, spoke at Jim's last change of command, he quipped that Jim's next assignment, and this assignment, he'd have to learn to speak NATO, where an omelet is not a breakfast dish you make with eggs, and a CJ sore is not a painful symptom of some unmentionable disease. Today, we can confidently say that Jim has mastered this final linguistic challenge. Just look at what UCOM and NATO forces have accomplished these past 4 years with other combatant commands and coalition partners. In Afghanistan, the security transition to Afghan lead is well underway. 90% of Afghans are now protected by about 350,000 Afghan national security forces trained by 50 ISAF partner nations. In Libya, Operation Unified Protector brought a swift and decisive end to the Gaddafi regime, assisting the Libyan people in liberating their country after 4 decades of brutal dictatorship. In the Balkans, NATO forces have been able to reduce their footprint significantly as Belgrade and Pristina are increasingly using the political negotiating table as a means of resolving their disputes, knowing that NATO will remain a security guarantor in the region. And off the coast of Africa, NATO forces have reduced piracy incidents by as much as 75% since 2001, saving the international shipping industry billions of dollars each year and improving security in the region. Jim has succeeded in these and other missions because he's applied innovative and creative solutions to complex security problems. When Jim was commissioned in 1976, we were in the midst of the Cold War. At the time, the dominant security paradigm was built around walls, in Berlin, literally, and with the Iron Curtain symbolically. As the Cold War drew to a close, Jim recognized that this security paradigm was quickly becoming obsolete. He observed that we needed to build bridges to provide greater security in the 21st century. Bridges between leaders, both military and civilian. Bridges between organizations and government agencies, both public and private. Bridges between nations. Jim applied this innovative approach everywhere he went. As SOUTHCOM commander, for example, Jim built bridges by supporting counter-narcotic activities, by conducting training and exercises with partner militaries, by providing humanitarian assistance and disaster relief, and by providing medical training and support. In a remarkable feat of public diplomacy, Jim deployed the hospital ship USNS Comfort during the summer of 2007 to 12 countries across Latin America. Over a 4-month period, a crew of 800 medical professionals performed nearly 400,000 patient treatments. The Comfort has deployed to the region multiple times since, including in response to the devastating Haitian earthquake. As Jim has written, the Comfort Mission continues to offer a model for cooperation and partnership across the Americas. To UCOM, Jim also brought private-public collaboration, convincing a team of the brightest cyber experts from the private sector to volunteer their time to identify cybersecurity vulnerabilities and mitigation measures in one of the Balkan states. In another instance, UCOM teamed up with a medical NGO to share traumatic brain injury expertise with small NATO allies who were operating in Afghanistan without caveats and were experiencing high per capita casualty rates. As a strategic and long-range planner, Jim also innovated. The highly influential post-Cold War Navy and Marine Corps strategy paper From the Sea, which was an unattributed effort at the time it was written, had Jim's fingerprints all over it. As Sean O'Keefe, then Secretary of the Navy, recalls, quote, From the Sea was the first official paper to introduce the modern concept of force projection from the littorals, utilizing the capability of integrated naval services capacity. The notion of integrated air wings of Navy and Marine forces on carriers and amphibs was a key element of the strategy. As such, it was initially viewed with great suspicion by Navy rank and file, as it disrupted the high seas ethos that had prevailed for the past half century. It sounds quaint now to say, but at the time the paper was published in 1992, it was revolutionary and bordering on heresy. Whether writing papers, blog postings on From the Bridge, or delivering speeches, Jim has set the standard for how to transmit our military's message clearly, crisply, and effectively to wide-ranging audiences, from members of Congress to NATO parliamentarians, and yes, to his tens of thousands of friends on Facebook. I'd like to end by saying something about Jim's leadership and the impact he has had not only on the U.S. military, but on advancing peace in the world. The first Supreme Allied Commander Europe, General Eisenhower, once said, "The peace we seek and need means much more than mere absence of war. It means the acceptance of law and the fostering of justice in all the world." Jim, your leadership and innovative approach to solving problems has brought us all closer to realizing the peace that General Eisenhower spoke of. You have left an indelible mark on the Navy, on NATO, and on the United States of America. For all your years of service, we recognize the sacrifices that you, Laura, and your family have made, and we say thank you as you transition to civilian life to become Dean of the Fletcher School at Tufts University and Chair of the U.S. Naval Institute. We all know that Jim's act will be hard to follow. But we also know that General Philip Breedlove will be up to the task. And I want to recognize Phil and his wife, Cindy, for their service to our nation. I've had the privilege of working with Phil when he served as Vice Chief of Staff of the Air Force. And I have every confidence that he will represent the Air Force, UCOM, and soon NATO with honor, distinction, and the highest standards of professionalism. One of my favorite stories about Phil goes like this. My daughter called me as a sophomore at Harvard, and she said, "Do you know a 4-star general named Phil Breedlove? He just gave a speech on leadership here, and it was incredible." And I said, "Yeah, yes, I do know General Breedlove." And she said, "Do you get to meet with him?" And I said, yes, honey, when he can make time for me. Phil's no stranger to Europe, and I know that our NATO allies and partners are looking forward to working with him again in his new role. I'd like to close by recognizing and thanking the men and women of U.S. European Command. The work you do every day contributes to the security, prosperity, and enduring freedom of Europe and the United States at this momentous time in our nation's strategic history. You have our utmost respect and gratitude. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Commander, United States European Command, Admiral James Stavridis.
Well, thank you. Very kind. Very kind. Mr. Secretary, thank you for those far too kind words. It is drizzling a little bit, and I think I can cut these remarks down to about 2 hours. So I'm sure everybody's comfortable. Welcome, everybody. I want to begin by simply thanking the men and women standing on the field in front of us today who have worked so hard to put this ceremony together. You honor U.S. European Command today. I am very proud of you. General Breedlove is very proud of you. The Secretary is very proud of you. Our thanks to every one of you. I want to also, in particular, say thank you and Guten Morgen to all of our German hosts who are here today. You've made our time in Germany, our time in Europe, has been very central within the German experience, and it's been our pleasure, Laura's and mine, to be part of all that. I want to thank guests who've come from all parts of the world for the ceremony. I want to mention my classmate, Nick Karangelin, fellow Greek-American, captain of the fencing team at the Naval Academy and representing the class of 76. We graduated, as I mentioned, 1.2 million years ago, and it's great to see both of us can still walk, let alone attend ceremonies like this. Thanks to the command team, Charlie Martolio, Roy Maddox, Grinnan Barrett, who's running this fine ceremony, and Ambassador Larry Butler, four individuals who have made my time here absolutely marvelous. I will actually be fairly brief today. The central comment I want to make is about a Greek goddess, and it's not me. There's only one Greek goddess up here, and it's my wife, Laura. Hemingway said in A Farewell to Arms, one of my favorite novels, Hemingway has the main character say to the woman he loves, "Darling, I don't live at all when I'm not with you." And it's no secret in a Navy family that we spend a lot of time apart from each other. I've spent 10 years, day for day, on the high seas, 10 years on the deep ocean, away from my wife, away from my daughters. Laura, you have absolutely been the center of my life. Thank you. I love you. Secretary was kind enough to mention our two daughters, Christina and Julia. Christina is working for Google up in Manhattan. She loves it. Who wouldn't? It's a terrific company doing wonderful things, and she is embedded in a culture that looks forward all the time. Our younger daughter, Julia, as the Secretary mentioned, will commission in the U.S. Navy on the 17th of May. So as grizzled old Admiral Stavridis sails on, the bright, shiny young penny of Ensign Julia Stavridis will take my place. I have observed the laws of the conservation of Stavridises. That's a good line. NATO. I've been very proud to be part of the NATO alliance. I heard about it a long time ago when I graduated from Annapolis. It was part of a speech then Secretary of Defense Don Rumsfeld gave, talking about NATO. Since I was planning to get out at the 5-year point and go to law school, I never thought I'd end up so embedded in this culture of NATO, learn to speak NATO, but I have, and I did, and I love it. It's an amazing organization. It represents half of the world's gross domestic product, 28 nations producing half of the world's goods and services. That's extraordinary. 3 million men and women under arms, represented by so many in uniform here today, 24,000 military aircraft, 800 ocean-going ships. We could go on and on. The NATO alliance is the bedrock of security for Europe, for the United States, for Canada, our North American and European partners, and I would argue a tremendous force for good in the world. People sometimes ask me these days, is Europe still important to the United States? It absolutely is. The United States is a global nation. We will look around the world to follow our interests. At the moment, we are focusing attention and energy on Asia because we see strategic challenge there. But our strategic partners will remain centered here in Europe because of NATO, because of that alliance, because of the geography of where Europe sits, because of these wonderful bases here that allow us the opportunity to move forward into the Levant, into Africa, into the near Middle East. And above all, Europe will remain close, attached to the United States because of the most precious cargo that passes across the Atlantic Ocean. There's $4 trillion in trade that moves across the Atlantic. Europe and the United States are each other's largest trading partners. But the most important cargo that ever crossed the Atlantic were the values that came from the Enlightenment: democracy, liberty, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of education. Those are the values we share with this incredible pool of partners. For all of those reasons and fundamentally because of those values, we will always be joined with Europe. I will leave the command in unbelievably capable hands, both Phil's and Cindy's. The two of you are an amazing team. 8 tours in Europe, a superb airman, an accomplished diplomat, an expert rider of Harley-Davidson motorcycles. How great is that? Phil, I'll tell you, you've had a lot of great seats in your life in high-performance aircraft and your Harley. You're about to sit at Eisenhower's desk in the seat of a lifetime, and you will be superb. And I am proud to turn this command over to you. When I look back on 40 years, don't worry, this won't take long. When I look back on 40 years, I remember being a brand new ensign on a destroyer coming out of Sydney Harbor on a day like this. I remember falling in love with Laura. I remember being with her at the Leaning Tower of Pisa when we were in our 20s. I remember our two beautiful daughters coming along into our lives, born in Southern California. I remember my first command at sea, USS Barry, wonderful ship. I commanded it 20 years ago. 2 years ago, I ordered the Barry to launch the first Tomahawks into Libya. That's the circle of life. I remember my time at Southcom, Miami, that magical city. I remember coming here and being surprised to be assigned as the first admiral to come to this fundamentally army-centric, land-centric command. In some senses, I was the accidental admiral, and I've loved every minute of it. The secretary talked about all we've accomplished in the last few years. At the end of the day, what I'll take away are the people standing on this field, our friends, our family, those we've lost. I signed 2,140 condolence letters in the course of these 4 years. Great sacrifices have been made. Great friendships have been renewed. This alliance continues. I'm proud to have been part of it. I look forward to my next voyage. I say to all of you, thank you for a lifetime experience here at U.S. European Command. God bless all of you. Let us sail on. Thank you.
The exchange of salutes from an outgoing commander to an incoming commander ensures that the unit and its forces are never without official leadership, continues the bond of trust, and signifies an allegiance of the command's members to their commander. In the Navy, the commander's flag indicates the commander is aboard. For a change of command, it is traditional to haul down the commander's flag and hoist the incoming commander's flag to mark the changing of command. Ladies and gentlemen, please rise for the change of command. Joining the official party for the change of command is the senior enlisted leader for the European Command, Fleet Master Chief Roy M. Maddox, Jr. Headquarters, United States European Command, 10 May 2013. Subject, assumption of command by assignment of the President. The undersigned assumes command of the United States European Command effective 10 May 2013. Signed, General Philip Breedlove of United States Air Force Commanding. Ladies and gentlemen, Master Chief Maddox will now present Admiral Stavridis his personal flag. Ladies and gentlemen, please be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Commander, United States European Command, General Philip Breedlove.
Thank you, Secretary Carter. You are an incredibly busy man, and our nation is in very challenging times. To have you here for both of us, as you have meant so much to us too in our careers, it's just awesome, and I thank you for presiding over this change of command. Please convey my respects to the President and the Secretary for their confidence in Cindy and I as we take over the UConn team. Distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, friends from all of our NATO nations and hosts from Germany, thank you for being here and sharing this very typical German day with us. Congratulations to Jim and to Laura. Thank you for, as 37 years of active military duty and wearing your cadet uniform over four decades of serving our nation, you have been an outstanding leader, and I have had a great boss and we thank you for that. I am extremely humbled to follow in the footsteps of great men like Eisenhower and Stavridis, who has been our longest-serving combatant commander, and I do have big shoes to fill, as he has accomplished so much, which the Secretary outlined so well. And so that I don't forget the most important thing of today, right up front, let me thank the new commander of Chateau Jean de Bien, Cindy. Years, 23 moves, and she's been a commander's wife now 8 times. What she has done for our airmen and even a couple of joint capacities, our soldiers, sailors, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen, is simply amazing. But her toughest task, I think, has been putting up with me. Thank you for raising our family and our daughter, too, who is now an Air Force lieutenant serving as a nurse. Cindy and I are grateful for the opportunity to lead you, the outstanding soldiers, sailors, Marine, airmen, civilians, and Coast Guardsmen of this great command. We couldn't be any more proud or happy of it today. Thank you all to our alliance partners and partner nations who are so critical to our success across the years. You have stood beside us as the vanguards for freedom. Nothing is possible without the contributions of our allies and partners. To borrow one last time from the boss, we truly are stronger together. Cindy and I have developed a love for this land. During 7 assignments here in Europe and beginning our 8th, it is our home and the birthplace of 2 of our daughters. During my first assignment to Europe as an F-16 pilot at Torhon, I learned how potent our forces could be if we operate together. During my second European assignment as Air Liaison Officer with the Army at Kitzingen Air Base, Germany, I learned that the only path to success was an integrated joint team working in concert with our partners and our allies. Across these assignments, I developed a deep abiding respect for the people of Europe in our area of responsibility. I also gained an appreciation and understanding for their history and their great sacrifice. I will endeavor to continue the tremendous work of Admiral Stavridis to foster and strengthen these partnerships both locally and across this region. I'm proud to be the commander of the organization that realized the full intent and potential of Goldwater Nichols. In Europe, joint warfighting became the rule rather than the exception. Goldwater Nichols directed joint operations, realizing the truth that a well-trained, equipped, and synchronized joint force is far better than the sum of its parts. One of the first manifestations of this paradigm was the air-land battle construct. On the plains of central Germany and in the skies above, the EUCOM team demonstrated to the world what a finely honed joint instrument of war was capable of achieving. From air land battle through Allied force and to today's contributions to Afghanistan and Libya, the U.S. EUCOM team demonstrates that by working together and fighting when we must, we achieve huge success on behalf of our alliance and our respective nations and their citizens. EUCOM made jointness a huge success. Now EUCOM is blazing the trail in joint and interagency innovation. The men and women of this command are working hard to make interorganizational as common as joint. The innovative approaches here were lauded by our joint staff and by our chairman. Innovations including our civilian deputy, our partnering directorate, virtual homeroom for interagency coordination, synchronization forums, the list goes on and on. This command is getting it right. I look forward to continuing these critical interorganizational partnerships and the expansion of our interagency integration. These innovations will keep us on track. During our tours in Europe, I've been extremely proud to watch components transform and achieve huge successes. The synergy that makes UCOM so successful and so powerful comes from our components and their accomplishments and our enduring partnerships among them. Together, our components have made the impossible seem normal. From European phase adaptive approach to Benghazi, you have met the task. I'm so proud of USUSR's accomplishments in training so many, including themselves. 2nd Cavalry Regiment recently conducted a decisive action training environment rotation with the Joint Multi-Readiness Center at Hohenfels. Saber Junction 13 was a brilliant example of multinational collaboration, combat formations from 19 different allies and partners, the largest training event in USRR since the early 90s. NAVIR has literally made phase adaptive approach missile defense happen in Europe along with their Air Force brothers. USAFE has taken the lessons of Jukebox Lotus to author a new normal readiness posture that will not only serve Africa, but Europe and CENTCOM. MARFOR-UR has trained Georgians to be one of the most effective and productive fighting forces in Afghanistan. And SOCUR and Task Force 10, their accomplishments are too many to brief. I cannot tell you how proud I am to have served as a component commander and teammate with such talented soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, civilians, and Coast Guardsmen. I am eternally grateful now for the opportunity to command that same team. Cindy and I are committed to do our very best to lead UCOM and to take care of each other and to take care of the families that support you. Thank you for being here today. You honor Cindy and I with your presence.
The U.S. European Command Airman of the Year will present Mrs. Breedlove flowers. Ma'am, on behalf of the U.S. European Command, we welcome you and thank you in advance for your support. Ladies and gentlemen, General Breedlove will receive his first salute from the command as Commander, United States European Command. Ladies and gentlemen, we are also here today to recognize the full and illustrious career of Admiral James Stavridis after a lifetime of dedicated service to his country and the United States Navy. Admiral Stavridis is a distinguished graduate of the United States Naval Academy and the National War College, and has spent the past 37 years commanding and leading forces at sea, ashore, and forward deployed. As a surface warfare officer, he commanded the destroyer USS Barry, Destroyer Squadron 21, and the Enterprise Carrier Strike Group. He served as Commander, United States Southern Command, and finally as the Commander, United States European Command, and as the Supreme Allied Commander, Europe. He holds various awards and decorations, including two awards of the Defense Distinguished Service Medal, the Defense Superior Service Medal, and five awards of the Legion of Merit. The Deputy Secretary of Defense will now present awards to Admiral and Mrs. Stavridis. Please take your seats. This is to certify that the Distinguished Public Service Award has been awarded to Laura Stavridis. Mrs. Laura Stavridis distinguished herself through dedicated public service to the communities of the Supreme Headquarters Allied Powers Europe and the United States European Command during the period 30 June 2009 through 30 April 2013. Mrs. Stavridis worked diligently to ensure the educational needs of all service member children in Europe are met. Her superior briefings and discussions during the Quality of Life Component Commanders Conferences provided insightful discussions throughout the United States European Command area of operation. Mrs. Stavridis has also been an advocate for the Wounded Warrior Ministries. The distinguished accomplishments of Mrs. Stavridis are in keeping with the finest traditions of public service and reflect great credit upon herself, the Supreme Headquarters Allied Powers Europe, the United States European Command, and the Department of Defense. Given under my hand in the City of Washington the 16th day of January 2013, Martinique Dempsey, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. At this time, the Deputy Secretary of Defense will present an award to Admiral Stavridis. Attention to orders. The Distinguished Service Medal is awarded to Admiral James G. Stavridis, United States Navy, for exceptionally meritorious service while serving as Supreme Allied Commander Europe and Commander United States European Command from June 2009 to May 2013. Admiral Stavridis demonstrated deep insight, tireless commitment, and exceptional leadership during this most challenging and volatile period. His masterful command of Operation Unified Protector facilitated the liberation of Libya. The consummate diplomat in uniform, he strengthened strategic relationships and obtained partner nation commitments to the International Security Assistance Force that saved the equivalent presence of 12 U.S. Brigade combat teams and simultaneously enhancing the capability and readiness of partners for future operations. Admiral Stavridis' superior performance of duties highlights the culmination of 37 years of honorable and dedicated service. For his superior leadership, wise judgment, and deep devotion to duty, Admiral Stavridis reflected great credit upon himself and upheld the highest traditions of the United States Naval Service. For the President, Ray Mabus, Secretary of the Navy. Ladies and gentlemen, please remain standing. The Deputy Secretary of Defense will now retire Admiral Stavridis. Admiral Order 1293, retirement orders for Admiral James G. Stavridis, United States Navy. Your request to be transferred to the retired list has been approved by the Undersecretary of Defense effective 1 July 2013. You'll be transferred to the retired list in the grade of Admiral. Signed, Jonathan W. Greenert, Admiral, United States Navy. Ladies and gentlemen, please be seated.
Two letters.
No, sir. Please stay. I have two letters of congratulations for Admiral Stavridis that I will read. For Admiral Stavridis from the President of the United States of America, I extend to you my personal thanks and sincere appreciation of a grateful nation for your contribution of honorable service to our country. You have helped maintain the security of the nation during a critical time in its history with a devotion to duty and a spirit of sacrifice in keeping with the proud traditions of military service. Your commitment and dedication have been an inspiration for those who will follow in your footsteps and for all Americans who join me today in saluting you for a job extremely well done. My best wishes to you for happiness and success in the future. Signed, Barack Obama, Commander-in-Chief. From the Secretary of the Navy, dear Jim, on the occasion of your retirement and on behalf of the Department of the Navy, please accept my sincere appreciation for your lifetime of service to our nation and our Navy. Your naval career has reflected deep and consistent dedication to duty for more than 37 years. One of the great strengths of our country is the willingness of men and women of your stature to devote their exceptional talents to positions of military leadership. Your accomplishments throughout your Navy career have earned you a reputation that service warfare officers will long strive to emulate. Whether in shore assignments or in the fleet, your performance and service to our Navy and nation were superb. Your most recent assignment as Commander U.S. European Command, Supreme Allied Commander Europe, culminates many years of outstanding service and accomplishments that will serve the Navy well into the future. I know your fine record will be a source of great pride to you in years to come. I join your many friends in the wish that your retirement years will provide you and Laura with great health, warm memories, and a deep satisfaction that comes from the knowledge that you have served your country with distinction. Sincerely, Ray Mabus. In keeping with time-honored naval tradition, Admiral Stavridis will now be piped ashore, accompanied by Mrs. Stavridis. Piping ashore is a historical and traditional ceremony that began in the 1700s and was prescribed by Navy regulation in 1843. The bosun, who is the warrant or petty officer in charge of the ship's deck crew, uses his pipe to muster a crew of sailors called sideboys to assist the officer in coming aboard, returning to his launch, or going ashore. The number of sideboys required is determined by the seniority of the officer. Today, Admiral Stavridis will be piped ashore for the last time, accumulating his active Navy career. Bosun, post the sideboys. Band, sound off. Ladies and gentlemen, it is customary to salute the departing officer as he is piped ashore. Please stand for the departure of Admiral Mrs. Stavridis. Admiral James Stavridis and Mrs. Laura Stavridis, United States Navy, retired, departing. Ladies and gentlemen, please remain standing for the benediction, the playing of the service medley, and the departure of the official party. European Command Chaplain Colonel David Beecham will now offer the benediction.
I invite you to join with me as I give the benediction. Lord God, Isaiah the prophet shared that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I ask that Admiral Stavridis would soar as he continues to serve in ways outside the military. I also ask that General Breedlove would also soar as he now leads the United States European Command. In fact, I ask that all of us here would soar on wings like eagles, even as Isaiah shared. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's ceremony. Thank you for attending. For those attending the reception, shuttles will take you to the Swabian due to limited parking. Good morning.